Good morning, and welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church in Clinton. We're so excited that you're joining us today. Whether you're online or on the radio, we are so ready to dig into worship together as we worship the Lord and Savior Jesus. My name's Katie. I'm one of the pastors here at First United, and I'm super excited to be sharing the word with you today, along with a couple of our staff. We're really excited that you're here, and we're praying for you as we get started. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for this time. We invite you in for this time of worship. May it be glorifying to you. Open our eyes and ears to what you have to hear. Let anything that is not from you fall to the wayside, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Takes to the world. This morning, I invite you to join me as we declare together this, our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, friends. Every week, your generosity is overwhelming. And the reason why it's overwhelming is because I know there are lots of other things you could spend your money on and a lot of other people asking for it. But every week, you give. And you give to the mission and ministry of this church. So thank you for making that a priority. And I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work and to help us enter into the fall in a really strong position as we continue to expand our ministries and our missions here at the church. So you can do that in a couple of different very helpful ways. You can give online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can mail your check here to 100 Mount Salis Road, Clinton, or drop your check or your gift off next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you anyway, so stop on by. And however you give, thank you. And remember, it makes an eternal difference.
I'm feeling it. I should be thankful, Lord, I know I should. But Lord, I hope this day is good. But Lord, I hope this day is good.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. Have you ever been fishing? Did you catch any fish? If you didn't catch any fish, you probably still ate supper that night, right? And you probably still had a good time fishing, even if you didn't catch anything. For some people, going fishing is more than fun. It's their work, their job. And if they don't catch any fish, there can be a very serious problem. One day, many years ago, Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Galilee. He had been preaching only a short time, but news of the new teacher who could perform miracles was spreading already. People heard that Jesus was at the lake, and many came down to the water's edge to listen to him. And the crowd grew quite large one day. In fact, the crowd was so large that Jesus needed more room to teach. Jesus saw that two boats were pulled up on the beach, and the fishermen were done with fishing and they were busy washing their nets. So Jesus climbed into one of the boats and asked Simon, who owned the boat, to push off from the shore a little bit. So Jesus sat in the boat, facing the crowd on the shore, and he taught the people who came to see him. When he was finished teaching, Jesus told Simon to go to deeper water and fish again. Simon told Jesus that he and his friends had been fishing all night long and they hadn't caught a single fish. Still, Simon said, "But if you say so, Master, we'll let down the nets." So Simon used a great big net for fishing instead of a fishing pole. And the net had weights all around its outside edge. And he flung out the net and then it still made a big circle on the water and the weight sank into the lake. Then when the men pulled the net in this time, it was filled with tons of fish, and the nets almost broke the weight of so many fish. Simon called to his friends in the other boat for help, and both boats were so full of fish, they almost sank. Remember, there had been no fish all night, but now, with the help of Jesus, both boats were overflowing from the catch. Simon realized that Jesus was a very special and very godly man. Simon kneeled down in his boat, and he asked Jesus to leave. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I don't deserve your help. I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner." And Jesus said to Simon and his friends, "Do not be afraid. I need you to help me catch men and women for God." So they pulled their boats back to the shore and left them there, fish and all, and they followed Jesus, and they were his first disciples. I think there's something even more amazing in this story than the enormous catch of fish. The really amazing thing is that Jesus chose ordinary people, people like the fishermen, to help him to do God's work. Ordinary people are still asked to help with God's work, people like you and people like me. So let's be like those fishermen and follow Jesus as his disciples today and every day. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for calling the fishermen to help you fish for people. Help us tell others about you too. Be with us as we continue to do God's work in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pray with me as we pray the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You may not have noticed, but the country is in a state of what some have called a crisis over the last 18 months. Ricky touched on several things last week that have caused fear in many of our lives over the last 18 months. As the country began to open up this spring, there was a different kind of crisis, one that caused a lot of fear, sparked anxiety, especially in our business owners and in managers across the country. Suddenly, people were leaving their jobs. Rather than jobs being difficult to find, it was the people now that were difficult to find in the workforce. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about why this is the case. As I've talked to friends who are making workforce transitions, they've all said something similar. They've reprioritized their lives over the last 18 months, since March of 2020. Rather than going to a job where they wanted to just make a paycheck, they've realized that they want to have purpose and passion in their jobs. Many of my friends, as they've experienced this shift in priorities, they've left their current jobs and they're pursuing new callings, ones that bring them joy and purpose. Now, with that all in mind, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever changed jobs? Now, if you have, you know that changing a job, or even more so, changing careers, can be nerve-wracking, to say the least. And today, we're going to talk about someone who was in the same boat. He was feeling a call, a pull, to make a shift in their career, even though it would have been really fearful. They would have been really scared, maybe. And that someone is named Simon Peter. Today's scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in all of the other gospel accounts, in Matthew, Mark, and John, Jesus starts his ministry by going and seeking out the 12 disciples. He begins by extending an invitation to the disciples to join him in his 3 short years of ministry that he would accomplish before he was crucified. Except in the book of Luke. Luke is a little different anyway. The book of Luke is known for being unique. And in today's passage, that we find that to be true again. You see, Jesus, he didn't begin his ministry by calling the 12 to come and fish for men. Instead, according to Luke, he began his ministry before he met Simon Peter or any of the other disciples. If you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 38, we read that Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law before he ever invites Simon Peter or any of the other disciples to join him in his ministry. You see, Jesus was already healing and teaching and preaching So when Simon suddenly sees Jesus on the beach at the lake, and he calls him master, it's because Simon has already had an experience with Jesus. Simon already knows who Jesus is and what Jesus is up to, because his mother-in-law has already been healed by him. Now, in chapter 5, verse 5 of Luke, Simon Peter addresses Jesus by the word master. And back in the early church, the word master isn't what we think of when we think of the word master. It had a little bit of a different translation. It was more akin to aye aye, captain, rather than Lord and Savior. He is the master of our lives. Which, funnily enough, is fitting with today's story and with what Simon Peter did for a living. So here we are at the lake, and Simon is approached by the same guy who had just healed his mother-in-law, who shows up at his workplace, at his job, and he climbs into Simon Peter's boat, and he starts preaching to a crowd of people who flock to hear the Lord speak. Now, after Jesus is done preaching to the people, he commands Simon and Simon's workers to go out further into the lake, to go out further than they had been, and to cast their nets once more. You see, Simon was a fisherman, but he wasn't just a fisherman alone on a boat for hours on end. He wasn't a fisherman who would go out on Saturday mornings to relax. You see, Simon Peter's father, he had built a business from fishing. If you look at verse 7, we read that Simon Peter had a second boat. So not only was this a business, but it was successful. And it wasn't just Simon Peter and his dad. No, they had other people, other men working for them. Simon's dad turned their fishing business into an enterprise, first century style, of course. But sometimes, as we read in today's text, they didn't catch any fish. Now, I'm not a fisherman by any means, but I do know that sometimes the fish just don't bite. No matter what kind of bait you put on the hook or how wide and deep your nets are. And I have to wonder, if I put myself in Simon's shoes, what he thought about when he looked at empty nets with no fish to take back to the market. What he experienced when he didn't make that income from the market to give to his men. I wonder if he questioned whether he would be able to feed his family or pay for his workers, who then could take care of their families. That's a hard and fearful place to be in, to not know whether you'll be successful at your job. Now, lo and behold, they go out into the lake, and the nets begin to break. But it's not something that's a bad thing in this case. You see, they threw out their nets and they caught so many fish that the nets began to physically break apart, and the weight of the fish was pulling on the boats, causing it to sink. So here we have Jesus commanding the guys on the lake to fish, and what happens? But that the fishermen have massive success by any standard. And that's the thing. That is the thing. if we listen to God. If we listen to the God of our Father And that's the thing. That's the thing. If you listen to the call that God has on our lives, you will succeed. Now, I'm not saying that it won't be hard at times. It will. I'm not saying that you'll never face hardships and you won't fail. I mean, literally, the fishermen's nets were breaking apart. But as long as the fishermen were listening to Jesus' instructions, then they were being faithful. And that, in Jesus' eyes, is success. The hardships and the call that Jesus has in our lives, they never outweigh the benefits if we answer His call. Now, success is a strange concept, especially in the church, but it's something that each of us experience in our various lines of work. In fact, some of us who are watching this right now have likely experienced fear or anxiety over the thought of failing at their job or making a mistake. I know I have, and I hope I'm not alone in that. Thankfully, though, we know that when we listen to Jesus telling us to go out further, to cast our nets one more time, to listen to the call that God has placed on our hearts, we will succeed. Now, that often looks different than what we expected. You know, Simon Peter didn't expect to catch boat or to catch fish that caused their boats to begin to sink that day. No, he didn't. But he was faithful. And because he was faithful in obeying Jesus' commands that day, he was successful. It just looked very different than what he would have expected waking up that morning. And because success is different in the eyes of the Lord, it's often not about accomplishments or accolades or prizes. Rather, it is about our faithfulness in the calling on each of our lives. Now, as we read further down in the passage to verse 10, we hit the nail on the head. Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, for now you will fish for men." From now on, you will fish for men and women. There are many instances in the New Testament where Jesus calls men and women alike to make disciples as they go throughout their lives. And that day, just as Jesus called Simon Peter and the rest of the men with him to follow him, he invites us to do the same. He calls each of us to fish for people. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we should all quit our jobs and go to seminary. Though if you want to, Ricky and I can help you out with that. No, Jesus climbed into a boat. And he began to teach and preach those around him. The gospel can be preached anytime and anywhere. I hope that gives you some freedom. That you don't have to be in a certain profession or be in a certain place or look a certain way to share the gospel. Because as believers, as disciples, No matter what we do to make a living, we're called to fish for men and for women. In the Great Commission, we hear the word go in regards to making disciples. Now, a lot of people either translate that one of two things. They'll say go, quick, two letters. Or they'll translate it to as you are going. As you are going in your daily lives, you are to make disciples. As we do whatever we do for our jobs, we're to be out in the world sharing Christ with others. You know, Jesus doesn't ask each and every person to go in vocational ministry within the walls of the church. He doesn't even call everyone to have a passion to go into foreign lands to spread the gospel. But what he does call each and every one of us to do is to both be disciples and make disciples. Whether you're in the classrooms with students, whether you're in the medical field, or whether or not you are a fisherman fishing to provide for your family and to sell food at the markets, Jesus has commanded us to go and fish for men and women, to bring others into relationship with the Lord. In fact, Jesus gives us a good example of this with Simon on the boats in Luke 5. You'll notice that Jesus didn't walk up to Simon Peter and declare that he will put down his nets and follow him to share the gospel. That wasn't Jesus' first move. Instead, Jesus kind of got down on Simon's level. He met him where Simon was the most comfortable with, fishing. Jesus begins discipling Peter, pouring into Peter, not by calling him away from the profession of fishing, but by stepping into his boat and challenging him to be bolder in casting his nets. Jesus didn't pull Simon Peter away at first from his strongest points, but rather he poured into him where Simon Peter was the most experienced in his boat. Now, if Jesus was willing to do that with Simon Peter, to challenge him to be more bold, where he excelled the most at, wouldn't he be willing to do that with us, no matter what our profession is? To invite us into discipleship, no matter what we do for a living? Because at the end of the day, our ultimate job, no matter what we do, is to be followers of Christ and to spread the gospel, to cast our net and fish for people. Now, how many of you have ever gotten nervous to mention your faith to someone to share the gospel? I don't know about you, but for me, it can feel really overwhelming to hear that we as believers are to cast our nets and draw others in towards Jesus. Some of us may be a little shy or may not know exactly what to say. And yet, as we read in today's scripture, the Lord meets us in the unknown of sharing the gospel. He meets us in the anxiety or fear or insecurity that we have of throwing our nets out. You know, much of the job industry in our country is in flux right now. Things are topsy-turvy, and many people are trying to hire as people begin to make life decisions to transition into better jobs that suit their needs. And you may be in such a season yourself. You may be sensing a desperate need to have a deeper purpose. And the good news is that Jesus has offered that to us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus looked at Simon and he says something profound. "Fear not, for now you shall fish for people." Friends, I look at you today. No matter where you are in life, whether you're retired, whether you're in the workforce, whether you're in school, and tell you those same words. Fear not. For our God has called us to fish for people. That is our ultimate calling. And I hope that you cast your nets as you are going in your lives, sharing the good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths that are written in your word and for the many lessons that they teach us. May we set all that we are and all that we have aside so that Christ will become an increasing reality in our lives until we are nothing and you are everything. You deserve all the praise and glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you receive this benediction as you are going this week? Whether it be to school or to work or to errands, may you go fishing for men and women, knowing that the gospel is to be shared by you, through you, for all. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.